Well, church, let's read Psalm 23 together. Put it up on the screen here. Would you join me? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters.
He restores my soul.
He guides me along the right path for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil.
Days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that if we are your sheep, if we are your children, if we are followers of you, you are our shepherd. And thank you for all the promise that is wrapped up in that statement. Our shepherd, who leads us beside quiet waters, who makes us lie down in green pastures, who restores and refreshes our soul. And God, as we talk about that today, I just thank you for every person here today who needs a restoration, a refreshment in their soul. And thank you, that can't happen by any words that I say, even anything that we read. It only happens by your Holy Spirit working within us. And so God, we just pray, Holy Spirit, would you work? Would you lead us? Would you guide us? Would you refresh us and restore us and make us new today and help us walk out of here looking more like Jesus than when we walked in? Thank you, God, for how you're working. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. This past week was a pretty awesome week for our family. My son had his first day of school. Started at the elementary school in kindergarten prep. Got to walk him into the classroom. Took about a can of WD-40 and a pry bar to get him off my leg. But when we finally got him unlatched and his teacher was able to distract him long enough for me to get out of the room, I got out of there like I just robbed the place. Like, let's go. Made a beeline for the car. I get into the truck and I sit down for a moment. And all of a sudden, I realized how much emotion I had in that moment. Like, I didn't really think much about it. I knew I was a little stressed. I wasn't sure why. I've had a lot going on in our world, a lot of different changes. And all of a sudden, all the emotions became real in that moment. I realized I was incredibly fearful. Like, I was afraid for my son. Is he going to be okay? Is he going to have a good time? Is he going to have friends? Is anyone going to like him? Am I going to get called 5 minutes after I leave with a call that says Timothy punched a kid and now he can't go anymore and you got to figure out another way to school him? Like, I have all these fears and anxieties. And then I'm dealing with guilt too. Like, was I a good enough dad? Like, did I prepare him enough? Could I have done more? Absolutely, yes, I could have. But like, all of a sudden I'm realizing or remembering the fact that I'm over a quarter of the way through the 18 years that I have him right here. Like, have I done enough? I feel all this anxiety and fear and worry. And I tell you what, church is a safe place, right? Can I be vulnerable here? When I say I cried, I don't mean like one or two tears. I mean like one of those that just like comes upon you like a sudden monsoon. Like all of a sudden, I am just weeping in my car. I can see motion out of the side as people are getting in their cars, hoping they're not looking at me because I look like a mess. And I was not expecting that kind of emotion. And it's amazing. As that moment happened, I suddenly realized what happens when you're carrying worry with you, when you're carrying anxiety and guilt and shame and anger and all these things. It takes a toll on your body. It takes a major, major toll on you. And what I was reminded of in that moment is exactly what we're talking about today. The fact that we have a good shepherd who will make us lie down in green pastures, who will lead us beside quiet waters, who will restore our soul, the one who we can come and bring our anxieties and our worries to and cast all of our cares on him because he cares for us. And so I just want to let you know, if no one else gets anything out of today's message, this message is going to bless my heart. Yeah, I mean, I might even amen myself at some point. So if I just randomly just go, amen, that's just me just agreeing with it. Because this is something I need, but I don't think I'm alone. I don't think I'm alone because I see so many people around me who are carrying worry and guilt and fear, have so many things that they're carrying and trying to bring with them. I think they have a desperate need for a soul restoration. In fact, this year we have an election coming up. Of course, everyone's being really mature. No one's fear-mongering. No one on the internet's calling each other names just because they have a different political ideology. Of course, that's not true, is it? Like every election year, it seems like, there's more fear, there's all these things going on. And each side tells you, if you don't vote for our candidate, everything is going to go to pot. And you know what? That might be true. But at the same time, there's an underlying belief system for those of us who are followers of Jesus. And it's this. My shepherd is in heaven, not in Washington. My shepherd is not dependent on who you vote for or who I vote for. I know in whom I believeth, and I know that he is able. I know that I have someone who is preparing a place for me, whose kingdom is coming. It doesn't matter if it's Trump's kingdom or Biden's kingdom. I believe in Jesus' kingdom. So it doesn't matter any of these other things that happen. I know him who the government rests on his shoulders. And that's the thing that I have to remember as we go into these times, is that we have a good shepherd. Is my shepherd in Washington? Is my shepherd on social media? Is my shepherd on TV? Is my shepherd on the internet? Or is my shepherd Jesus who is in heaven? That's the question we have to ask ourselves in these moments. And that's why this series is so incredibly important, because we all have a shepherd in our life. We all have someone who's leading us and guiding us, who we entrust our life to, who when things go wrong in our life, that's the one who we're running to. The question is, who is that shepherd? And if we don't know who that shepherd is, the reality is life can get very, very depressing. The burdens that we're carrying can be too heavy. We can become depressed and downcast. David wrote in a moment in Psalm 42, he said, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." See, one of the dangers that sheep face is becoming cast. It's a term that refers to the moment when a sheep becomes either lying down on its side or on its back, and it becomes unable to get back up. They call it a cast or cast down sheep. Because as we know, sheep can be a little helpless. And so if something happens and they roll over onto their back or they lay down for too long, their muscles become paralyzed and they're unable to get themselves right side up. And all they can do is hope and cry out for their shepherd to come and restore them right side up again. The reality is the same thing can happen in our souls, in our lives, inside of ourselves. We can become downcast. Upside down, paralyzed by fear, paralyzed by anger, paralyzed by doubt, paralyzed by depression, paralyzed by anxiety, whatever it is that we're carrying with us, it can get us to this point where we are upside down with no hope or way to be turned right side up except for our shepherd. We can feel like our souls are completely and totally empty, in need of refreshment and complete and total restoration. I don't know if you feel that way, but I've felt that way times in my life. And what I am so thankful for is that in those moments, in enters a shepherd who promises to make us lie down in green pastures, to lead us beside quiet waters, and refresh and restore our souls. And so I want to walk through this with you today, these three things that the shepherd gives us that we just read about. The first thing makes me lie down in green pastures. It's the promise of rest. He offers rest to us as his sheep. The reality is, a lot of people struggle with rest. Did you know there's a difference between resting and sleeping? In fact, I know people that are not rested in their life. They are restless, but they get 8 hours of sleep every night. I know people that you can get as much sleep as you want. They can even have margin in their day to do nothing but sit there on their phone, but they're still not rested and rejuvenated, because there's a difference between not doing anything or sleeping and actually being rested. Actually having rest happen in you. It involves stopping. It involves putting everything aside for a moment. It's so incredibly hard when you have everything else going on in your life, when your mind's going 1,000 miles an hour. It's hard to rest. In fact, I found there's a couple reasons why people don't rest. The first one is this. It's because we need something more. It's really hard to rest and lie down in green pastures when you're worried about, man, I think there might be greener pastures over there. I just need something more. There's a poem that I came across this week that I love. It goes like this. It says, "It was spring, but I wanted summer. The warm days and great outdoors. It was summer, but I wanted fall. The colorful leaves and cool, dry air. It was fall, but I wanted winter. The beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but I wanted spring. The warmth and blossoming of nature. I was a child, but I wanted to be an adult. The freedom and the respect. I was 20, but I wanted to be 30. To be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but I wanted to be 20 again. The youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but I wanted to be middle-aged and have the presence of mind without limitations. And then, my life was over, and I never got what I wanted." I think that describes a lot of people. That has described a lot of moments in my life. We get so caught up with the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. I just need a little more, a little more. I want the next season, the next thing, the next thing. Sometimes we have this unappeasable restlessness within us, this unquenchable dissatisfaction with our life. There's always the next thing. See, it's so hard to lie down in green pastures when I'm worried about the fact that, oh, I think there might be greener pastures over here. It's hard to enjoy the life that God has given me, the home that he's given, the family he's given me, when I'm looking at my neighbor and going, oh, I want the greener pastures. Without realizing the reality that if my neighbor's yard or his pasture is greener, it normally means what? That his water bill is higher than mine. We don't realize the other things that go on in that. It's a struggle when I don't think I have enough to actually lie down and rest in green pastures that God brings me to. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says that God is able to bless us abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I lack nothing. It's hard for him to be my shepherd when I don't believe that, when I still think there's something that I need. The second reason we find it hard to rest is because we just don't stop. You know, in Psalm 46, verse 10, God says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Then in Isaiah 40, it says, "Those who wait upon the Lord will have their strength renewed." Waiting upon the Lord, resting in him, being still and knowing that he is God. And then in Psalm 23, it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." I'm going to break this down. First word, he. The key word there is he, because God is the one who's doing it. There's a rest that is talked about, a stopping that is talking about, a peace that is surpassing all understanding that only God can do. It's not more self-help books. It's not another vacation. It's him and only what God can do. And then it says what? He politely suggests that I lie down in green pastures. He suggests Maybe he sends me a nice letter. Would you consider, Tim, lying down in green pastures? No, what does it say? He makes me lie down in green pastures. If I'm God's sheep, if he's my shepherd, we talked about this last week. The implications of that is that he's in charge, he's number one, what he says goes, I listen to his voice. And that's not the case for all people who go to every church in America. For some people, he's not their shepherd, but if he's actually my shepherd, if he's in charge, if he's in control of what he says goes, I'm going to lie down or I'm going to lie down. You're either going to lie down or I'm going to make you lie down in green pastures. One way or another, you will lie down in these green pastures. And that may sound a little harsh, unless, of course, you've had the incredible privilege like me, and I'm sure many of you have, of trying to get a toddler who desperately needs a nap to take a nap. You ever have that moment? You're going to take a nap and lie down, or you're going to lie down. Because I know what's going to happen if you don't have your nap. Man, or they have that moment, you need a nap. No, I don't! Like, yeah, you do. Come on, lie down. Whatever I got to do, if I got to hold you down, you're going to lie down. Because I know what's good for you. I know what you need. And God will make you sometimes lie down in something that he will call a green pasture that will restore you. But maybe it doesn't feel like a green pasture at the time. Sometimes if you're going and going and going, ignoring God's voice in your life, and you're not stopping, there's no moment of pausing and spending time with him, sometimes God will use things that don't feel like green pastures as a green pasture in your life. Sometimes God will use a hospital bed as a green pasture for you to go, oh, I need to stop. Sometimes God will use a diagnosis. God will use a terrible moment. God will use a funeral home. God will use a moment of depression, a moment where everything else finally stops. For once, you're not on your phone. For once, you're not worrying about everything else going on in the world. For once, you're not scrolling through social media. For once, everything is off for a second. And that's the moment where you can say, good, you're finally stopped. Let me restore you. Sometimes God will use things in your life as green pastures because he wants you to lie down in him and stop everything you're doing, because when you're doing everything else, it's hard for God to work in your life. Because the point we talked about last week is what? The shepherd doesn't seek to be the loudest voice. He's the voice you recognize. My sheep know my voice, Jesus says. He doesn't say, my sheep are deafened by my voice because I yell so loudly. He's a gentle whisper that they recognize. He's not going to shout over everything else. So sometimes lying down in green pastures means everything else has to be turned off and put away, and you're just listening to him. It says he makes us lie down in green pastures. And what happens in those moments when you stop everything else, all the hurry, all the bustle, all the things you have to get done or have to worry about, all of a sudden then a healing rest happens. An intimacy happens with God that you can't have any other way. Besides, when everything else is set aside, you lie down in these green pastures and stop the hustle and bustle of life. And like it says in Psalm 46, in those moments, then you be still and know that I am God. Be still. No movement, no other distractions. And knowing that he is God. It's a moment of worship. I'm stopping and I'm worshiping him. And in those moments, no phones, nothing else distracting me. In those moments of stopping is when God can start to restore me and rejuvenate me. So he promises, first of all, rest in those moments of stopping. But then there's a second part to it as well. It's a moment of water. He says he leads me beside quiet waters. You know, when my wife has a headache, this really annoying thing happens to her. Her husband asks her the same question every single time, and it really, really annoys her. Can any of God's husbands tell me what the question is? No one else? Asks her wife. Man, am I alone in this? Have you drank water today? No one else asks that. Okay, that's fine. I guess I'm the only one. But I'll tell you what, in our house, it's quite a common occurrence. Have you drank any water today? And a lot of times, the answer is, no, I haven't. And she does the same thing to me. There's moments I feel terrible. Have you drank enough water today? Have you eaten today? That's a big one for me. Have you actually eaten today? No. Well, no wonder you're so grumpy. Water is so incredibly important in our life. Taking time to drink is so incredibly important in our life. And it's interesting. In Psalms 1, it talks about those who are blessed by God. He said it's a person who delights in the law of the Lord. And then what happens in their life after they've delighted in the law of the Lord and meditated on it day and night, it says they are like a tree that's been planted by streams of water. Psalm 23 says that he leads us beside quiet and still waters. And then John 4, Jesus says that whoever drinks the water that I give them, they will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Fact is, Jesus and his words are the life-giving, life-changing water that changes everything in our life. It says that our shepherd, in the NIV, it says he leads me beside quiet waters. In the ESV, it says he leads me beside still waters. Those words pretty much mean the same thing, but I like using both of them, quiet and still waters. It's interesting. Sheep, most people say, will not drink from a turbulent water source. If the water is moving rapidly and making noise, the sheep will not go there because they're naturally very skittish animals. Where the shepherd has to take them is to something that's still. That's not moving, that's not making a bunch of noise, that's not rushing rapids. Instead, he has to lead them to still waters, quiet waters. See, it's interesting. Shallow waters tend to be loud and noisy, whereas deep waters are still and silent. Sometimes we have to go to those places of deep waters with God where things are still, nothing's moving rapidly, and just drink from him. Says the shepherd leads us to somewhere where there are quiet waters, still waters, nothing else going on. We talked a moment ago about stopping and being still, but also that's a big part of drinking as well. Drinking of him, soaking up his goodness, soaking up what his word has to say to you, allowing him to change you. It's so incredibly hard to have God's word change your life when it's competing with 900 other things. But it's amazing what happens when you turn the TV off, turn everything else off for a moment, and just allow God's word to speak to you as you drink it up. Stopping in those moments, turning off everything else, and having the deep waters work in your life. Opening up your Bible and reading it. Taking moments to set aside time. This is the moment I'm going to stop. Turn off everything else and everyone else, every other voice, and just listen for God's voice. And I encourage you, this is a habit that will change your life. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it means just starting off. Today I'm going to do 5 minutes. Nothing else, no one else. I'm just going to do 5 minutes today. Maybe that becomes 10 minutes. Maybe that becomes 20 minutes. And all of a sudden, that becomes patience in your life. That becomes peace in your life. That becomes joy in your life. That becomes love in your life. That becomes forgiveness in your life. The fruit of the Spirit will start to come out in you as you start to ingest the Word of God. And God's Holy Spirit will start to bring things out in you that you never expected. When you are beside the quiet waters, listening for God's voice, there's a few things that can happen. One is reflection can happen. Just thinking about God's goodness. Reverence can happen. Thinking about how amazing God is. Something I like to do when I have moments where I'm sitting with God. And sometimes I just, I don't know how to worship today. I don't know what to do today. Sometimes I'll just go A through Z. And just go through the alphabet. And think of a letter or a word that starts with each letter that describes God. It starts off pretty easy. God, you're awesome. God, you're bold. You're beautiful. And walking through each letter, sometimes around Z, it gets a little hard. But just walking through each one, thinking of something that describes God is an amazing way to worship. Having reverence for him. And ultimately, remembering is something that happens when we walk beside the quiet waters. In Hebrews 12, The author says that we should run the race marked before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So many people grow weary and lose heart as they go through life, as they carry burdens they were never supposed to carry on their own. And some of that is because they are so focused on everything here and everything here and everything on their phone and everything over here, and their eyes are never fixed on Jesus. The verse does not say, occasionally glance up at Jesus and make sure he's still there. It doesn't say once a week putting our eyes on Jesus. It's fixing our eyes on Jesus. Putting our eyes on him, making him the thing that we're always looking at. When we forget who Jesus is, how much he loves us and what he's done for us, it's really, really easy to feel like everything's going wrong around us. But when we focus on him, when we stop everything else and walk beside quiet waters and allow his word, his life-giving water, to overtake us, focusing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, suddenly the author and perfecter starts authoring new things in our life and perfecting things in my life. And life change starts to happen. Our shepherd will make us stop and rest in him and lead us to a place where we can drink of his life-giving water. And finally, my favorite part is refreshment for our souls. It says, he refreshes my soul. I also like the ESV. It says, he restores my soul. He refreshes and restores me in 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. If I need my soul restored, there's some symptoms that can show up in my life. Maybe it's little things putting me over the edge. Maybe it's just not being able to go to sleep. I can't get up. I can't turn off the day. I dread going to the next one because I sense I don't have what I need. My plate's too full and my heart is too empty. If I can't find my Bible, if I'm not praying for anything big in my life, maybe I need a soul restoration. Maybe I need God to fill my soul up again and restore things in me. I've noticed some things that can lead to the need for a soul restoration. One of them is the word over. Being overworked, overtired, oversleeping, overeating, overindulging, any of those things over and over and over again. Having too much on my plate or too much of things that are outside of God on my plate. It's interesting, Mark 8. Jesus says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit your soul? What good is it if you get all the things you want, if you have every moment of pleasure that you desire, if you finally get the job, whatever it is, and by the end of it, your soul is an empty husk. There's nothing left. I know a lot of people have gotten to that point. I know a lot of people have gotten to that point in their life. They got everything they said they wanted, but yet they're still not happy because they're trying to fill a hole that only God can fill. Each and every one of us have a God-sized hole in ourselves, in our hearts, in our souls, that God wants to fill up with his presence and peace and spirit. But we try so hard to fit anything else we can into it. The second reason some people need a soul restoration is because they're under sin. Specifically, unrepentant sin. David writes in Psalm 32, when I refused to confess my sins, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Whenever I have something in my life that I haven't confessed to God, something I'm hiding, oh, it hurts. I'm so much more angry. I'm depressed. I'm mad. And sometimes I don't even realize why. And then I realize, oh, there's that thing that I've been hiding. That thing that I haven't come to God and confessed to him. But what I love is we have a God who comes. We come to him and ask for forgiveness. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us. Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. He makes us new creations in Christ Jesus. He restores us. And it's interesting. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to restore a piece of wooden furniture or an old wood floor when my wife and I got our first home. We restored the wood floors. And it's interesting, the wood floors, they needed some more stain. They needed something, they were losing color. And so, you know, you could think naturally, well, hey, maybe we'll just pour the stain on the floor and rub it around and that will fix it. But of course, that won't work, will it? Because to be able to have the stain do what it's supposed to do, there's some things that have to get taken off the floor. We have to strip away everything else. The varnish and everything else needs to be stripped away so that it's bare and new and able to soak up the stain that we want to put in that will restore color and life to the floor. And in the same way in our life, if God is going to restore our souls, there are some things that need to be stripped away from us. There are some things, maybe some of you have been going to church and doing the Jesus thing for a little bit, and you're feeling like nothing is actually happening in your life. There's no life change. Maybe it's because it's like someone pouring stain onto this floor right here. Nothing's going to happen because there's still all this other stuff that needs to be stripped away. And if we surrender, God wants to come in and say, listen, let me strip that away. Let me crucify that flesh. And after everything is stripped away, we're laid new before God. Then the blood of Jesus comes in and stains us and makes us new, restores us. God wants to come in and restore our soul. Psalm 19:7, it says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. We want God to restore our soul. If we're in need of a soul restoration today, it starts by stopping. Maybe it's stopping for the first time. Maybe you've never had a relationship with Jesus before. But I want to invite you to make him your shepherd today. And then it involves drinking. Drinking from the waters of life. Drinking from his word. Soaking it up. Putting everything else aside, having moments that we stop and just listen for God's voice in our life. And as we do that, as we follow our good shepherd, we have the promise that he will restore our soul and revive us, refresh us, put something new in us. There's a story of an old actor who was traveling across the country and doing oratory performances back in the day. And he came to his hometown. And he stopped into his old church, and he was actually doing a performance that evening, reading some different psalms and other things. When finally, someone in the crowd that he knew from a long time ago, an old man, looked grizzled and worn, looked like he'd seen a lot of life. He comes up quietly to the speaker, and he says, would you please recite Psalm 23? The man paused for a second, and he said, you know, on one condition, if you will come up after I say it, and you do it yourself. You also come up and recite Psalm 23. And he said, well, okay, I guess. And so the actor spoke with all the eloquence and polish that you would expect from someone who speaks on a regular basis. And it was beautiful. Oh, it was wonderful. He had all the right inflections. It was a beautiful rendition of Psalm 23. And everyone in the audience applauded. And then this old man gets up and also recites Psalm 23. And it wasn't eloquent, it wasn't well put together, but by the end of it, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. It was so real. There was something about it that gripped people. And the actor, when he got done, said, this is just like I thought. See, I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. And that's the difference for Psalm 23 in our life. A lot of people know the psalm, Psalm 23, but when you know the shepherd, everything changes. When you know his voice, everything changes. When you have that time where you're stopping and lying down in his presence in the green pastures that he brings you, when you're actually spending time in his word, drinking from who he is, suddenly everything will change. And it's no longer just a psalm. It's a promise. It's a moment of praise because he is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. He knows every need that I have. It isn't just a thing we come do. It isn't just a sermon we hear. It isn't just a song that we sing. Everything changes in our life, but it has to start with him being the shepherd, him being everything, him being the leader no matter what. And so I invite us today, bow your heads for a moment with me as we come before our God. And we just say, Father, thank you for being our shepherd. But also, God, your word says that if any of us have wandered off, we're not in your sheep pen. You also say that you are the good shepherd who leaves the 99 to go after the one. And if that describes anyone in this place today, I just thank you, God, that you love us so much, you love them so much, that you're willing to leave everything else behind. Come down and die on a cross for them because you love them so much. And God, I pray that a sense of your love and your peace and just a conviction of your spirit would just pour over them. If there's anyone in this place today who's wandered off, who have things in their life that they've been chasing instead of you, God, I pray that you'd convict us today. You'd restore us today. God, if there's anyone in this place today who needs a touch from you, who feels so empty inside, they feel like they can't get out of bed every day. They feel like they have to keep putting on a face. They maybe even come to church and feel like they're just faking it. God, I pray that today is the day that your spirit will show up and restore them. That they will have a moment right now of green pastures, of just stopping everything else and just hearing your voice telling them that they are loved by you, that you have a plan for them, you want to lead them and guide them along right paths for your name's sake. God, thank you for who you are and how you're working. We thank you for what you're going to do, how you're working in this place. And God, just pray you draw us to action, whatever that looks like. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.